Please forgive me for my peculiar voice. I was flying at about 30,000 feet last week, and I was struck deaf and dumb by some mysterious circumstance, and they have not recovered yet. And so perhaps I better stop talking here and read before my eyes conk out as well. This is a short chapter in the life of my protagonist, Mr. Watson, who is an eligible bachelor at this stage, as he's been a few times before. He is, however, operating under a cloud, being a suspected killer. But he's nonetheless still in the game. Mr. Watson, if nothing else, is full of life. William Parker Bethay, a Baptist minister, sharecropped a piece of the plantation across the Fort White Road. His widowed daughter from his first marriage came to visit, and somebody suggested to both parties that Mrs. Lola McNair and Mr. E.J. Watson might take kindly to each other. Having nothing in the world against sweet widows, I fluffed up my whiskers, borrowed red trap with bright gold spokes, and sparkled over there of a nice Sunday to pay my respects. The Reverend, in black preaching coat, white socks, and high black shoes, was sitting in a rocker on his front porch. "Good day, sir," said I. "E.J. Watson is my name. I've come a-calling." When I lifted my hat and introduced myself, he rose from his chair as if prepared to defend his hearth and home. But like so many in the preaching line, he looked like a more steadfast man than he turned out to be. "Yes, sir," he said in a stiff voice. "We know who you are." Hearing those cold words, I almost left without hesitation. But even as he spoke, Preacher Bethay was hastening out into the sunlight for a better look at my red trap with its bright gold spokes, after which he waved me up onto the porch, saying, "Make yourself to home here, Mr. Watson." Watching me was a young girl in a white frock who stood behind his rocker like a servant. She had wide brown eyes and a calm and kindly face and long, soft, taffy-colored hair down past her shoulders. This was not the widow, but her younger sister, Catherine Edna, handsome and pretty both. Showing nice manners for this part of the country, she curtsied to her father's guest and, ever so winsome, skipped away to fetch her sister. What Preacher Bethay was up to in that moment, only his Lord knew. My guess was he was tussling with the devil. But even before I flapped my coattails up and sat my arse down in his rack in his rocker, I knew this man would never give me trouble. As farmer and preacher, he was well acquainted with my neighbors, and surely he'd heard rumors about E.J. Watson. Yet never once on this day or later did this man seek to assure himself that this stranger of dark repute would not sully his daughter. He had two new kids and a third one in the oven, and no doubt dreaded the burden of the widow and her children somewhat more than permitting her younger sister to fall into the grasp of a known criminal. By now, Catherine Edna had returned, busting out onto the porch all in a flurry. When she smoothed her skirt and bowed forward a little to sit down on the steps, I could not help but note the apple bosom swelling in her frock. However, that was my own need. There was no guile in her. If she noticed all my noticing, she gave no sign, just beamed in my face like a fresh fruit pie. By the time Miss Lola had joined us on the porch, it was already too late. I had my wicked sights set on her sister. All in a moment, Catherine Edna, whom I would call Kate, had twisted my loins hard. "Expected you Saturday," the preacher said, a little sour. "Lola's just fixing to leave." The widow Lola had the same calm, kindly manner as her sister, but also the sad quiet in her face of a young woman suddenly condemned to live mostly in the past, who expects little or nothing from the future. Her hair was up in a big roll on her head, the way all married women wore it, and childbearing had thickened her a little through the midriff. Lola McNair did not stay long. She was taking the afternoon train. The Reverend went off to hitch up his buggy to drive her and her children to the junction. When she rose to go, she took my hand, smiling a little, having sensed what was already taking place. So She drawled that small word slowly. Mr. Watson. I bowed. We exchanged a smile. Releasing my hand, she said how much she'd enjoyed meeting me, adding, next time you'll come calling just a little sooner. Miss Lola was not flirtatious, and she was not teasing me, only herself, having lost a suitor before she had even laid eyes on him, even before she knew whether she might want him. And she did not mind that I had seen her bittersweet glimmer of regret. All of that went back and forth between us with not one word spoken. That woman and I were friends from the first moment, as if we had been lovers in some other life. I loved her sister, but I loved her too, being full to overflowing with a grand, bold feeling. And yet she was protective of young Kate, and her eyes were troubled. Unlike her father, she did not pretend she had not heard the rumors. That shadow went back and forth between us two. Thank you.